Today's daf is Mem Dalet. We're just going to go back to the case that we saw yesterday, starting about 12, 13 lines from the bottom. Hahu Torah dehava lebnei Rav Ukva. If you remember, there was a shur for the sons of Rav Ukva. De'atcha be'shchita b'tor bat haveshet v'gamar beveshet. Remember, they started at the top, the tor bat haveshet, the entrance to the veshet, and they shechted downward toward the bottom. And Rava said, we're going to give him the chumre de Rav, the chumre de Shmuel, the tarif nale. So Rava ruled that you have to get the chumres of Rav and the chumres of Shmuel, and it's a trefa. Why? Because Rav said, if you get a hole in the Torah Saveshet, b'mashehu, if there is a hole, it's a trefa. And even though Rav said it's a makom shchita, which would mean that this should be fine then, it's not a nekev, we hold like Shmuel that it's not makom shchita, and therefore, and even though Shmuel says in order for it to be a treif, it would have to be a nekev in the rov of that area, we paskin like Rav who said b'mashu, and like Shmuel said, it's not makom shchita, and it's a problem. That's what Rava said. Okay, Rava paskin like this. Came Rabbi Abba, and he said, Igal Gal Milta, right, it's the story went on, and it went to in front of Rabbi Abba. I guess Rav Ukva's sons brought it in front of him and said, what's going on here? And by the way, I checked the case in Gittin, where the case was where she went to get her mazonot in the Beit Din. And Rav said, I'm sorry, it was Rabba Barav Huna, who said to her, you can't have your ketubah money because Rav doesn't let almanot get their ketubah money. Right, that was this whole thing. If I don't know if you remember, this was a long time ago. But in Gittin, he was worried that there was this fear that almanot would lie a little bit, like white lie kind of thing, because they claim, "Oh, we never got a ketubah, even though they had gotten the ketubah money." They'd be more heter and say, "Not really," because they say that money was for the kids or various things. So anyway, he said, "Oh, Rav doesn't let you get your ketubah." So she says, "Then give me mizonot, because remember, if you don't get your ketubah, you get mizonot." And then he said, "Oh well, Shmuel says once you make a claim in court to get your ketubah, we no longer give you mizonot." So then he basically ruled, right? Because at least Rav would have said, "Keep giving her mizonot." Right? Remember the difference between, again, not everybody who's listening has learned all this. The difference between a woman who has a ketubah, it basically promises her food until such time as she gets the lump sum fee in the ketubah. And if she gets remarried, then already she can't have mizonot anymore, then she can demand the lump sum fee. Or there was all of these opinions, maybe if she starts putting on makeup and looking like she wants to get married again. And then Shmuel said, once she goes to make a claim in court that I want my ketubah, she can no longer get mizonot. So here she made a claim, but she didn't win the claim because he paskin like Rav. So then the rabbi said, well, look, you made a claim. Now we paskin like Shmuel, and that was unfair to her, right? And then she cursed him. And he died, actually, as a result, according to the Gemara. So here again, we have a case of the Chumra de Rav, the Chumra de Shmuel. So Rabbi Abba says, right, basically, Rava should pay them back for this. And then they say, and then Amar Mar, Bered Ravina says, Motvina tiyuvta kalpesane de Rava. I'm going to show that there's a real problem with what Rava did. Lo olam hilchata kedivrei Beit Shammai, varutzel lasso kedivrei Beit Shammai oseh. Even though the halach is always like Beit Hillel, if you want to do like Beit Shammai, you can. Kedivrei Beit Hillel oseh, if you want to do like Beit Hillel, you can. We're going to get back to this, I said. Mikule Beit Shammai, mikule Beit Hillel, you're a Rasha. If you always go by the kulas of each opinion, you're a Rasha. And if you go by Chumre Beit Shammai or Chumre Beit Hillel, alava ketuv omer, haksil b'choshech cholech. You're a foolish person walking in the darkness. And why is this? Because we're going to see that this is particularly in cases where they're mutually exclusive, the two opinions. The two opinions don't work together, like in our case. So now, before they get back to our case, they're going to say, Ela'i kebet shamai kekulehem. Oh, sorry, they're still going with this. The only thing you could do is either kebet shamai kekulehem u kechumrehen. You have to be consistent. If you're going to go like Beit Shammai, so take all their kulas and all their chumras. Or iki Beit Hillel kekulehem ukechumrehem. Right? This is a big thing about psak. You can't just pick and choose and say, I'll take this rabbi's kula and that rabbi's kula and that rabbi's kula. Right? Now you could take kulot and chumrot of different rabbis as long as it's not like this case where they totally contradict each other.
That's so inconsistent with the whole Gemara, where we take one person's opinion and another person's opinion. Like, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess Beit and Shammai are different because they were schools of thought, philosophies.
Yeah.
But we're always debating whose opinion should we follow. We sometimes follow different people.
No, so the point here is, so first of all, this could connect with, we say, Kne Lecha Rav, right? And pick a rabbi and go with that rabbi all the way. Now, we don't always say you have to do that. Here, the point is, you can't, and that's what we're going to see, you can't take a case where you say, I'm going to define this case, kind of like what Rabbi Bar Rav Huna did, and maybe that's why he was deserving of being cursed for what he did, because he went Lechumra and wouldn't let her have her, right? And either... And both cases, right, she had no way to do it. And Rav and Shmuel there, basically, if you hold like the chumras of both, you're stuck. Here also, if you're going to hold like the chumras of both, they don't work together, right? Either you say it's a makam shchita, and then you could say nekev b'mashu, but because makam shchita, so the shchita should have been fine. So it's when they contradict each other. Most psak, if you take this and you take that one, it's not, they're not contradicting each other. Okay, here's where we have a real problem with the contradiction. So now comes the Gemara and they say, wait, before we even get back to our case, Hagu Fakashia, this braita that you brought has an internal contradiction. Amar lo lamalacha kedivrei Beit Hillel. V'hadar tana harotze laso kedivrei Beit Shammai yaseh. Didn't you say the halacha is like Beit Hillel? And if you want to do like Beit Shammai, you can. How could you do like Beit Shammai? If we paskin halacha, we paskin halacha. That's all there is to it. So what do they answer? Lo kashia. Kan kodem bat kol, kan la'achar bat kol. Now, if you remember, there was a whole thing that a bat kol came down and said, we always paskin like Beit Hillel. Okay, so in that machloket, and here, Shari, they're showing a distinction. When there's a bat kol, at least according to this interpretation, when there's a bat kol that says the halacha, which doesn't really happen very often, then we go like the bat kol, which except actually is a problem except for when we don't. Exactly, there's a whole thing with Rabbi Lezer ben Horkinus, right, and we didn't follow the bat kol. But here there was a bat kol that told us how to paskin halacha. It gave us like, we're always going to hold like Beit Hillel. So before the bat kol, you could do whatever you wanted. Even though the halacha is like Beit Hillel, you could have also paskin like Beit Shammai. But after the bat kol, you can't anymore. That's one interpretation. V'ibay deyema af l'achar bat kol. Okay, some people say even after the bat kol. V'Rabbi Yoshua he damar ein mashgichim b'bat kol, right? And we hold like Rabbi Yoshua, who says, we don't follow heavenly voices that come down and determine halacha. And that was that whole big thing in Bava Metzia there, in that famous sugya about the Tana Rosh Halachnai, that we don't hold by heavenly voices when it comes to halacha. We have the rabbis. The rabbis are those who determine. And then they say, right? So then they say, it's according to him, who say, we don't hold like the bat kol. Okay, which means that you can, even though we paskin like Beit Hillel, right, the psak of Beit Hillel is not as strong as one might have thought. Okay? So, and that's why we, you know, the Tana here holds, even though we generally paskin like Beit Hillel, you can follow Beit Shammai if you want, which shows that halachic decisions are not binding necessarily. That as long as there's some other opinion, you can hold by that, as long as it fits your criteria. You're not always mekel, which would pick all the kulas you want, or pick all the chumras, and specifically, right, it's when, the truth is, I forgot to mention this, the sugya in Eruvin, this comes up in Eruvin Daf Zayin, and there it says, it's specifically, because there they bring this up also, the same sugya appears, most of the details of this, and they say specifically, only when they, because there they bring up a contradiction, but wait, here we see they did, and then they say it's only when they contradict, okay, when they're mutually exclusive. The case they bring there is the Shidral Gulgolet that we had in our case. Remember in Ohel, said a few days ago, if you have a Shidra or a Gulgolet in Ohel, so right, even though you don't have the whole dead body, remember, if it's just a bone, then it's different, then it's not Matame Ohel. If it's whole skull or the vertebrae or the backbone, then we'll say it's going to be Matame Ba'oel. But then there was a debate how many chuliot need to be broken to say this is no longer. And then they said the Chen Linyan Trefa. So there, whoever's Machmir in one is going to be Mekel in the other. Because if you say this is, right, you need two to break in order, right, if there's only one broken, we're still going to say it's Matame Ohel. That's a Chumrah. But if there's only one broken to say it's a trefa, right, 1 second, how did I say it? If there's two, if you say only two broken.
Two vertebrae.
Right, two vertebrae broken is going to mean that for Ohel, it's going to be tahor, right? It's not going to be metame ohel. It's a kula. It's not going to be metame ohel unless... One second. I have to get this straight in my head. Okay, if you have... If you say shte chuliot, right, two vertebrae, in the ohel, then you're basically being... two chuliot broken. So as long as two chuliot aren't broken, we're still it's machmir. Because you're going to say that it's still going to be metame, even if only one is broken. And when it comes to in a trefa, we're going to say two chuliot broken is going to make it a trefa. So one chulia will not make it a trefa. So you're mekel. Because you're going to be mekel if only one is broken. So that's the case where, right? The same definitions for ohel and trefa, but it's going to be the reverse decision, right? One's going to be machmir, one's going to be mekel. That's the case he brings where you can't follow the chumrot of both. Okay, so now they say, going back to our issue, mikomakom kasha. So we're still stuck with, how did Rava say that right, that we're going to go by the chumrot of both, right? Ramina nale chumrei de Rava, chumrei de Shmuel, v'trif nale. So kasha, mikomakom kasha. Amar Rav Tevut. Now we're going to re-explain some things here. Rav Tevut comes and says, kula ki Rav avda. That we actually, it's not the chumrah of Rav and the chumrah of Shmuel. You guys didn't understand Rav properly, okay? We explained that Rav says it's b'mashahu and that it's also makam shchita, right? Nikei b'mashahu and it's makam shchita. But now he's going to say, d'chi ata Rami bar Yechezkel. Okay, Rami bar Yechezkel, let's get some history here. Rami bar Yechezkel was the brother of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is the one who often passes down the Torah of Rav. Now, even though Rav Yehuda isn't mentioned here, all we see is, right, if we the machloket before said, Rav says this and Shmuel says this about Torah Batzaveshet. Okay, and he explained, we explained the machloket Rav and Shmuel earlier in the sugya about what the Torah Batzaveshet is, and we got to our explanations. Now he's going to say, you misunderstood the whole machloket Rav and Shmuel. Rav didn't say what you think Rav said. We thought Rav said, it's b'mashahu, right? Mikev b'mashu in the Torah Batzaveshet, and that's because it's makom shchita. Since it's makom shchita, it's like the veshet, and a veshet is pasul of mikev b'mashu. So now he comes and says, Rami Bar Yechezkel lived in Bavel, but then he went to Eretz Yisrael for a while, and when he came back with all sorts of different misorot about Rav's Torah. Okay, Rav used to live in Eretz Yisrael, and then he went to Bavel. If you remember the famous Miki'ata Rav Le Bavel, when Rav got to Bavel, we've seen that many times, all sorts of things, right? That's when the big Merkaz in Bavel started. And it started before, but that's when it really became the central place. But because he had been in Eretz Yisrael before, Rav, so they were misarot about Rav's Torah, and they developed differently in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel. So when Rami Bar Yechezkel comes from Eretz Yisrael back to Bavel, he says, Amar, lo titzitu lehu, don't listen, lahane klale dechayel Yehuda achi mishmei derav. Don't listen to the way Rav Yehuda explained Rav's Torah. Hachi Amar Rav. This is what Rav said. So again, our sugya never mentioned the name of Rav Yehuda, but there's an assumption that since, how do we know most of the Torah of Rav and Shmuel from Rav Yehuda? So it must be our assumption, the machloka previously was Rav Yehuda's explanation. And here came Rami Bar Yechezkel, and he said, Hachi Amar Rav. This is what Rav said. Veshet natnu bo chachamim shiur. What does that mean? The rabbis determined what part of the veshet. A shiur means that there's only a certain area of the veshet that one can sheft. So he said the chachamim came and gave the veshet a shiur, meaning, what does that infer? Michlal detor b'veshet la makom shchitahi. Okay, what does that mean? He means that if he says there's a shi'ur of which part of the veshet can be shechted, that means it's excluding part of it. What part can we assume it's excluding? Mm-hmm. The entrance to the veshet, which means that even though he thought that Rav said it was a makom shchita, he didn't say it's a makom shchita. Now, he did say it's nikev b'mashu, so b'ka'amar b'mashu. In other words, he said even though it's not makom shchita, he still thinks, for the reasons of trefa, right, that that's an area of the body that if you have any sort of a hole in it, it's going to be a trefa. But not because it's a makom shchita and therefore we judge it like the veshet and the veshet is nikei b'mashu. It's just judged independently, which means that in the end, he paskin fully like Rav. Remember, Rava now paskin fully like Rav, and Rabbi, when they brought it to Rabbi Abba and they said, what are you doing? Now what we have to re-explain is that Rava said Ramini ale, right? Ramina ale chumre de Rav, chumre de Shmuel, utrifna ale, right? I'm putting on the chumres of Rav and the chumres of Shmuel, and I'm trafing it up, right? I'm saying this is a trefa. But really, we're now reinterpreting the story and saying, no, you misunderstood what Rava said. Number one, you misunderstood what Rava said. And number two, when Rava paskin, he didn't paskin because of the Chumra of Rava, the Chumra of Shmuel. He paskin based on Rami Bar Yechezkel's understanding of Rav, which is, it's not Makom Shchita, and Nikev B'mashu is Aser, is a Trefa. So therefore, we reinterpreted the story in order to make it make sense and line up with our principles about not taking the chumras of two things. Okay, so we now reinterpret. Basically, we have to assume that Rava never said what we thought Rava said. And it was just passed down that that's what Rava had said, and they said, it must be a mistake. You must have passed down the story incorrectly. That can't really be what Rava said. Okay, again, this is a good question. Maybe Rava really did say it, and maybe he had a different perspective on this, and maybe there's different ways of viewing things, and, you know. Anyway, at least what we see is that he didn't get killed like the last guy who tried to do this in Gittin. Okay. Now that we're talking about the Torbat HaVeshet, right? We talked about the entranceway to the Veshet. Now they want to know how far down in the Veshet can you go. Okay, we already just said the Chachamim Natanu Bo Shiur. So Shiur Lamala, we're assuming now, excludes the Torbat HaVeshet. What about the Shiur Lamata? Okay, so how far down can you go? Remember, the Veshet leads to the stomach. So, how far down can you go? Okay, lamala ad kama. Okay, lamala doesn't mean up in the throat. It means, you know, in the body. Okay, until the stomach. Ad kama. I'm a Rav Nachman. Ad kidei tfisat yad. Wait one second. Are we talking about the right thing? Or is this really lamala? One second.
It looks like it is
the upper limit of the Veshet.
Oh, sorry. We're still at the top here, right? The later one is getting to the stomach part. Right. Here we're still at the top. So how much, if we're in the Torbat HaVeshet, how much are we talking about here? How much of the space, right? So they say, Am Rav Nachman ad kidei tfisat yad. Okay? Which means about 3 or 4 etzba'ot from the top. Okay, so we measure 3 or 4 etzba'ot. That's the amount. Under that, you can do shchita already. Now, lemata ad kama. Here's the question, right? Below, near the stomach, what are we talking about? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, ad kidei sheyasir, until it starts to get hairy. Okay, which is basically the beginning of the stomach. We're basically saying, okay, we're going to see exactly where this is. Okay, we're going to call this the keres hapnimit. Okay, if you remember in the Mishnah. Is it in the Mishnah, or I think it was in the Yud Chet Trefot? The sheets. There was one case. It was brought up in the Mishnah, I think. Yeah, Hakeres Hapnimit. Okay, and we said we're going to get to explain, right? Rashi said there, Bagamara Mefarish. What is the Keres Hapnimit? Now we're going to make reference to this Keres Hapnimit. Okay, because remember there were 4 Kresot, but then we started talking about the Keres Chitzonah and the Keres Hapnimit. So now they're going to explain what that is. So first they say, ad sheyasir, until it becomes hairy. So now they say, ini, v'hamar Ravina. Really, is that true? Didn't Ravina say, amar gneva mishmei derav, tefach beveshet samuch lakeres, zehu keres hapnimi. Okay? The tefach in the veshet, that's close to the stomach, okay? As the veshet leads to the stomach, so the part of the keres, a tefach of the veshet, which is actually pretty large, if you think about, a tefach of the veshet samuch lakeres, that's called the keres hapnimi. And that's where we said in the Mishnah about the keres hapnimi, okay, the Mishnah said, hakeres hapnimi shenikva o shenikra, okay? That was any, right? If there's any nekev or torn, it's a problem. And then Oshenikra rova chitzona, right. Keres hapnimi is nikva, and the chitzoni is nikra rov. So you see that this keres hapnimi is judged more stringently than the keres chitzona. So now they want to know, what's this keres hapnimi? They're saying, this is it. Okay? So doesn't he say, that's the keres hapnimi? So, and then they say, Amai. So now they're going to say, ki kashachit bekeres kashachit. So how could you say that it gets until the hairy part, which sounds like only till you get to the keres? If we're already going to say that the tefach That's before, right? The last tefach of the veshet. It sounds like, from what he said before, is that it goes all the way to the keres itself. But here it sounds like, from what Ravina says, that the keres, the tefach that's of the last tefach, is already considered the keres hapnimit. So now, right, and then he's basically shefting the keres. So what do they answer? Ema, we can say, tefach bekeres samuch leveshet, zewa keres hapnimi. Maybe what he meant when he said, Ravina, who said in the name of Geneva, who said in the name of Rav, the tefach beveshet samuch lekeres is the keres hapnimi, he doesn't mean tefach habeshet, he means tefach of the keres samuch leveshet. Right? We have the place where the veshet, right, here's the veshet, the veshet leads to the keres. So do we mean the first tefach? Do we mean the last tefach of the veshet or the first tefach of the keres? So if we say the last tefach of the veshet, then it doesn't make sense that we call that the keres hapnimi. So then you can say, maybe the keres hapnimi is the first tefach of the keres. It's the, you know, the point of magab at the first going inside. Yeah, what do you say?
Just so you can't check there. So it's irrelevant, and I don't even see what they're arguing about.
No, because what they want it, right, you're saying, how could you say, ad kedei tvisat yad, right, lemata ad kama, until that part.
Keres, so why did they
no, what they're, no one's suggesting that you could sheft inside the keres. The whole question is, are you allowed to sheft until the last tefach of the veshet, or are you allowed to sheft all the way to the keres?
But with the ribs, you still can't get anywhere close to that.
And there's no cannot.
Well, it depends, I guess, if you open it. If you open it up, maybe.
But then, then you're not shechting it. You can't shechting
it. Right, then you, right. It's true. How you would exactly get in with
the ribs. The one referring to is where the veshet reaches the ribs.
Right, it would be hard to imagine how one can shecht there. I have to agree with you.
So don't shecht in the neck.
Yeah, right. And this is way past the neck. It's a good question how they can suggest.
So I thought they were discussing where the veshet meets the ribs. I don't see how. No, because that would be the end point.
Right. The picture does make it seem like it would be quite impossible to do that. But I guess that maybe if you had a smaller animal and the keres, and if for whatever reason, let's just imagine the keres got pushed forward or something, and the you have to imagine somehow. I know, it's hard to imagine. It's a good question. Okay. So now, that's one answer. Ibait ema kika amarav betora demasir tfe. That's maybe what Rav was talking about was in a shore where the since the hairy area, since the keres is much bigger, then the hairy area basically goes into the veshet until a tefach, and it's already hairy up to this tefach. Okay? And that's another possible answer, okay? Which then would mean that the cutoff point really is a tefach samuch, okay? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Torbat haveshet shenital kulo milechi kasher. We're now going to deal with this halacha passed down by Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. The entrance way to the veshet that's totally detached from the lechi is okay. The Tana Tuna and our Mishnah supports this because our Mishnah says, nital lechi atachton. Now, remember, the lechi, right, the bottom lechi, okay, you can see the picture here. The bottom part of, I don't know, do you call it a cheek in an animal? The cheek, what? The jaw, that would be the right word. The jaw, the lower jaw of the animal attaches to the entranceway to the veshet, which is the Torbatz HaVeshet. So if the lechi atachton, it says in our Mishnah, that's removed, it's still kasher. So that would prove what Shmuel says, which is Torbatz HaVeshet, that's basically detached, is kasher. So matkef la Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, what are you talking about? V'ha'ika ikor simanim. Isn't this, if the Torbatz HaVeshet is out of place, then the assumption is also the Veshet's out of place, and therefore isn't this uprooting of simanim? So then they say, and as Rav Papa's not, now you have two things here. You have Shmuel and you have our Mishnah. So Rav Papa's questioning Shmuel and saying, Shmuel, how can you say, Torbatz HaVeshet shenital kulo milechi kasher, isn't there ikor simanim? So they say, wait a minute. L'Rav Papa kasher matnitin, nital lechi atachton kasher. Rav Papa's asking a question on Shmuel, but we can ask a question on Rav Papa's question from the Mishnah itself. If the Mishnah is synonymous with Shmuel, and Rav Papa questions Shmuel, and the assumption of his question questions the Mishnah, then really we have flipped the question on Rav Papa and says, obviously, Rav Papa, there's something wrong with what you're saying, because what you're saying goes against the Mishnah. So we're going to answer now. Bishlama matnitin l'Rav Papa. The Mishnah you could answer according to Rav Papa. You can say, lo kashya, hadi akir iakure. Rav Papa means, Rav Papa's referring to when it's uprooted entirely. But ha di ugem igume mi ilave simanim. But when Rav Papa, with the Mishnah, when it says nital lechi atatan kasher, that's where it gets dislodged above the simanim, which means that the simanim themselves aren't dislodged. Okay, if the simanim get dislodged, it's obviously a problem. The Mishnah must be talking about when they're not dislodged. But ela l'shmuel kasher. But Shmuel sounds like he's saying where the Torah tzaveshet, right? He says nital kulo milechi. Nital lechi atachton kasher doesn't necessarily mean that the veshet was detached. But when Shmuel says it in the words Torah tzaveshet shenital kulo milechi kasher, it sounds like the entire siman is dislodged. So either we could say lo tema kulo ela ema rubo. We can say that when Shmuel was talking about, he meant rove of it was dislodged and not the entire thing. So now they say, but that doesn't really help because ha'amar Rabba bar Baruchana amar Shmuel simanim shenidaldelu beruban trefa. This was, I believe, one of the seven, the Shev Shmatita, the seven ones they learned, which is simanim shenidaldelu beruban trefa. If they're mostly removed, it's a problem. So it should be a problem also. So amar Rav Shisha bered Rav Idi ha di ikpal ikpule. Hatam de ifruk ifruke. Okay, when we say simanim shenidal delu beruban trefa, that's when they're ifruke. They're entirely disconnected. But in we're going to say like this. There's two ways something can be rove dislodged. It can be rove dislodged. Okay, let's say this is the area. So we can kind of say from, let's say we have a circle. Let's say it's a circle, okay? That's what we're assuming the veshet is. So from one side all the way around to the other is dislodged. And this part is still attached. So that's nidal delu beruban, and it's a problem. But then we can say, that's going to be the case where we're not, sorry, my mistake. That's what we're going to call ikpal, this is, one second, ikpal ikpule, right? It's like it's peeled away. It's from the lashon of likalef, to peel. Rashi says likalef and likapel are viewed as the same. If you peel away the rove all in one area, but it's still attached on one side, that we're going to assume is kasher, like Shmuel said, because it's still attached on one side. But you could have a problem of dislodged at rove. Let's say this part is disconnected, here it's disconnected. It's disconnected in so many places. So when you add them up, right, it's only attached like by strings in certain places, then it's already very loose, and that's going to cause the animal to be a trefa. So when it says, and that's again, what was the problem we had? We had on the one hand, Shmuel said, Torba tzaveshet shenital kulo milechi kasher. That's where it's, we say kulo doesn't mean kulo, it means rubo, and it means rubo all in one area where it's still solidly attached in the other part, right? Let's say 49% is still attached altogether, or even less than that. And the other case where we saw the Rav Papa said, ikur simanim is a problem, that's when they're mostly dislodged, right? And or simanim shnidal delu berubam trefa, that's where we're going to say it's dislodged berov in many, many places, and it's just hanging on, as we say, by strings. Okay, that's ikpal ikpule. Upsukata gergeret. Now we're going to get to the psukata gergeret. That was all about the veshet and the torbas veshet, the entranceway, right? We talked about which area of the veshet can be done for shchita. We raised the issue about how you can get all the way inside, which I don't have a good answer to. But this debate about the entranceway, right, which in the end we kind of said nobody thinks the entranceway is a good place for shchita, right, even though we thought that Rav originally did say so. Okay. Upsukata gergeret. Tane kama psukata gergeret. Biruba. Okay, so this braita that says how much does it have to be? What's the word? Sukkat, it's dislodged, or what's the word they use?
Severed.
That's the word. Okay, how much is it severed? Biruba, the majority. Bikama ruba, what's the majority? Rav Amar, Rov Ovya, Ve'amrele, Rov Halala. Okay, you can see if you have the Schottenstein and you've turned the page, you see there's an entire page on this one line. Okay, I'm not going to get into all the details. I'm going to try to explain it in one way that seems to be the simplest way of explaining. Okay, it's the first picture you have. No, it's not the first picture. It's, the bigger picture with the green on it. Okay, so the kane has this outer layer, which is thicker on one side, okay, the outside, I don't know what it's made of, but the outer lining of it, okay, is much thicker on one side and it's thinner on the other. Now if you measure, let's just say the top right now is the thicker part, you measure from the thicker part Rov of Ovya. Ovya means the outside. Okay, let's say I have a circle, okay? Notice I make a circle with my fingers. So there's two ways I can measure this circle. I can measure from the outside of my fingers, or I can measure the halala, the space inside. That's going to get me to two different areas. Now, in the circle of my fingers, since my fingers are basically the same thickness all around, let's assume, okay? There, I'm going to get to rove of both, right? Rove of there is going to cut off, right? And rove of there is going to be the same, really, because the half point is the same. But if you have the one side is much thicker than the other, okay, in the ovi, that's the outer, that outer layer that goes around the kaneh is much thicker on one side than the other. So to get to half, it's going to end, if you go from the thicker part to the thinner part, the half line is going to be at a certain point. Now, when you then go in the inner circle, that half point is going to actually be lower down. Right? In order to get to the half, and that's what this picture, if you have the shan scene, it's very helpful, it shows you that picture. Now, the reverse will be true if you start from the bottom, okay? But let's just assume we're starting from the top, because that's the case we're going to see, where if you go by rov halala, you're going to actually be more, you're going to end up, right? If you go by rov ovya, you're going to be more machmir, because if you're going to get to this point, you're already going to say it's a trefa, whereas if you went by rov halala, you'd have to get, right, to this point. Going from the top, okay? So that's what's important to know here. Hahi psukata gargaret. So there was a case of a psukata gargaret. Okay, what's interesting about these cases, I like it. On the one hand, we're talking about very nitty-gritty, tedious, trefa stuff. But it was so, we talked about many Gemaras, whether they're, how often they came up with these cases. Here, this was super relevant. They were shechting meat all the time. And the Gemara was nice enough to bring us many cases which also teach us about psikat halacha, like we had at the beginning of today's daf, all about psak, and can you go by chumras of two people? So we have a lot of interesting cases about psikot.
I still don't understand. Does this happen, like an animal comes to them with this injury? Because that would be a very dead animal. I don't think you can live with a half cut.
Again, the animal, remember, when the animal got pretty sick, they would say, kos, kos, right? Quickly shecht it. So it could have been that they often shechted animals that were on their last moments because they wanted to shut
like
them.
Or is this like a mistake? Maybe the animal was moving and this happened? Like I just don't understand the circumstances where you would be presented with an animal with an injury like this.
Right. It could be they just didn't know the animal was so sick. It could be. Or they didn't know what kind of sickness the animal had.
That's very sick. Think about it.
Right, you know? Right. It is pretty sick. It's true. Okay, so now Hai psukata gargaret, ta'ata lekameh d'rav. So they brought this case with a psukat gargaret in front of Rav. Yatev ekabadek la b'rov ovya. Okay, so now, I have to just clarify before. So we said how much is psukat gargaret? We said biruba. And then we said kama ruba. I didn't say this well enough. Rav says we measure by rov ovya. The amrela, and some people say that Rav himself held rov halala. There was a debate about what Rav himself held. So now we get a case that came before Rav. Let's see. So what did he do? Kabadik la b'rov ovya. Okay, he checked it based on the outer area, which again would mean that when you only got, right, if you already, the rov of there, you haven't yet gotten to the rov of the rov chalala, if you're talking about this kind of a case, which means he was machmir and he called it a trefa. Doesn't say here. This is an interesting part of the story we're going to see. He doesn't actually say that it's a trefa, but he started checking by rov of Yah, which is obvious from the end of the story, that he meant to be machmir, okay, and say this is a trefa. Amrule, Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, L'Rav. Rav Kahana, Rav Asi come before Rav, and they say, Lima Ditani Rabbeinu, we're rov chalala. Didn't you teach us that you measure rov chalala and not rov of Yah? In which case, this animal should be mutar, because it didn't yet get to the rov chalala, the rov of the inner circle. Shadre lekameh de Rabba Bar Chana. So Rav now sends the animal in front of Rabba Bar Chana to decide. Badka berov chalala. Okay, it's a little strange why Rav sent it there. Okay, or maybe they sent it there, but I did see explanations that Rav sends it. Rashi says that. Rav sends it in front of Rabba Bar Chana. Badka berov chalala. Okay, he now checks it berov chalala ve'achshara, and he machshirs it. And not only does he machshir it, and this is why I said we're going to get to very interesting things about psikat halacha here. V'zavan minei b'tlei sar isterei p'shitei. And he bought the piece of meat himself. Okay, after he says, this is a kosher piece of meat, he then purchases it. Okay? Maybe he wants to show, don't think I'm, you know, I really mean this is kosher. I'm even willing to eat it myself. Okay, and he buys it for 13 coins. Pshite bisra, okay? Tov. He buys the meat for those coins. Now they say, wait a minute. V'hech yavid hachi. How could he possibly have done this? V'hat, oh right, it is going to be obvious it's Rav. We're going to see later that Rav is the one who sent to Rav Bar Pachana from the answer here later, if I remember correctly. Anyway, v'hat tanya, what's the problem? What happened? Rav wanted to trafe up the animal, right? He basically didn't say it was a trefa, but he kind of indicated it was a trefa. And why did he give it to Rav Bar Pachana? Because he wasn't willing to paskin that it was okay. Right? This sometimes happens, right? You come to a Rav for a question and he says, maybe you should ask someone else. You ever hear to have that? Right? Better to ask someone else because I'm not willing to say it's okay. So Rav passes it on to Rav Bar Pachana. So they say, how could Rav Bar Pachana be mekel here? V'hatanya, chacham shetimei ein chaveiro rashai l'taher. Asar ein chaveiro rashai lahatir. If you bring a case before a chacham and he says it's tamei, you can't go to a different rabbi and have him say it's tahor. Or if he says it's forbidden, you can't go to someone else and say, oh, it's permitted. So what do they answer? Shanehacha de rav lo asar mesar. Okay? And he didn't actually forbid it. Right? He indicated that he was going to forbid it, but he didn't actually, if you notice, right, that I told you that was missing from the story. He said he started checking it, Berov of Yah, and then they started questioning him, and they said, well, go bring it to somebody else. But okay, so now we have this case where Rav wanted to be Machmir, but he brought it to Rav Bar Pachana. So it's okay that Rav Bar Pachana. It's okay that Rav Bar Pachana did it because Rav actually never ostered it. But now we have another problem. And this is going to connect to something we learned before. If already a rabbi had to paskin about this, meaning there was a sheila here, then how could he have eaten from it? Rabba Bar Pachana. Because v'haktiv, remember that pasuk from Yechezkel we saw a few days ago? V'omar ha Hashem Elokim, hine nafshi lo metuma'a, unevelau trefa lo achalti minurai v'adata, v'lo ba b'fi basar pigul. How do we explain those three things? Remember, the whole thing was that Yechezkel says, I'm doing an extra special level of, you know, keeping a better level because I never did any of these three things. What didn't I do? Hine nafshi lo metuma'a, shalo harti bayom lavoli de tuma balayla. Right? I didn't have thoughts during the day that were going to bring me to have tumah keri balayla. Unevela utrefa lo achalti, shlo achalti basar kos kos meolam. I never ate animal that the animal was about to die. Exactly as Shari said, how could anyone, this animal was obviously very sick. I wouldn't eat an animal that was so sick where there's a question, is this okay or is it not okay? Velo ba befi basar pigul is either shlo achalti mi beima shahora b'chacham, or I never ate, right? This actually, they don't say comes in the category of kos-kos, but I never ate from an animal with a hora'ah chacham that someone had to paskin about, that there was a question at all. That's the thing that we're going to say, how could he have done? Mishum rabinatan amur shalo achalti mibayim ashalo ramu matnotea, right? That they didn't take out the zorah lechaya and the keva, even though Yechezkel himself was a Kohen, and he didn't really have to, but he still made sure to take out those parts. So anyway, their point here is, even though what Yechezkel did was above the law, wouldn't we have an expectation that Rav Bar Pachana would be like Yechezkel last time we brought this and said, doesn't this prove these things are okay? But now we're proving it, say, shouldn't Rav Bar Pachana have not bought it himself? Because here there was already a question that you needed a Hora'at Chacham, and you shouldn't be eating meat that needs a Hora'at Chacham. Yeah? If you're on a higher level, you should kind of keep away from that stuff. So that's, they say now, oh no, Hani Mile Ditalia Besvara. Rabba Bar Pachana agmares samach. Now they say, we're going to start distinguishing. When there's a Hora'at Chacham that depends on logic, right, where you have to make a logical assessment, so there, better not to eat meat, where there was some Chacham had to make a logical assessment. But Rabba Bar Pachana went by a masoret. He had a masoret that we measure by rov chalala, and therefore this wasn't a problem at all. This isn't something Hora'at Chacham. This is, right, this is where you say, can you ask a rabbi a question, right? Sometimes the rabbi just gives you an answer you just didn't know yourself. It's not like a real psikat halacha. It's not a Hora'at Chacham. It's just the rabbi happens to know more information, or, you know, and could be anybody, a rabbi, a woman. You know, you can ask anybody a basic question. If they know it, they know it. That's not a psak. Here we're talking about if a horaat chacham, if you needed someone to figure out logically which is, you know, what's the right way, that's something that better off not to eat that kind of meat. Okay, now we have a separate problem with what he did. Okay, so we understand, he basically said, we go by Rom Chalala, and that's he had a masoret about it, and very simple. Okay, and he didn't go against Rav, because Rav never forbade it, so we don't have that problem. Now we have a problem with the fact that he bought the meat. What's the problem with the fact that he bought the meat? We should worry that people are going to be suspect of him. Titania, Dana Tadin, Zika v'chiev, Timei v'tiher, Asar v'hitir, v'cheina edim she'idu, kulam resha'in likach. Okay, if you say this person's zakai, this person's chayav, this person's tameh, that person's tawar, you're asar, hitir, or edim she'idu. Everyone is allowed to purchase whatever this item might be. Like, let's say we say it's tahor. Okay, you can buy it. But the Chachamim said, better for the judge not to go buy this item, so that, now it's interesting. Rashi, in Mishum Chashada, when we first brought it, brings one Chashash, and here in Mina Ki'ur brings a different Chashash. So let's read both of them. Mishum Chashada, what's the problem? Delo lemru mishum desharya nihale mozil gabe v'nir ekin otel sachar al horato. We don't want to say that what might happen. If I matured your meat, and then I say, and I'll purchase it from you, since I matured it, you'll probably give me a good price, because you're happy that I matured it. And then what happens? He's benefiting from, people are going to say, oh, look, he's benefiting, as if he's being notel sachar from his psikat halacha. Okay, this is proof you're not supposed to pay someone for giving you a psak. Okay? Herchek min akior, here it says, the issue is, shelo yomru b'shvil kach zikeu lezeh, she'enenu lo bezol. There, there's a chashash that maybe you matured it so that you'd be able to buy it for less money. Okay? Some people read this, by the way, as zika v'chiev timei v'tihir, asar v'hitir is a case where two people came with the same case, and one he asared and one he hitired, or one he tamed and one he tihir, and then it really looks like a chashash that you're doing it just so you can buy it. By the way, where do we see this? We saw this in a really interesting case in Yevamah. I don't remember all the details. I believe it was Yevamah, where if you mature the woman and say she's not an Eish Hadish, you can't marry her. Exactly, Yafer. You remembered it, right? Because it's very, you can't marry her because it looks like you're being mature her to say that I want to marry her. There, okay, here we're going to see, here there's just a chashad, and here we're going to say why it's actually not a chashad here, but there clearly it is a chashad. So now, what do they say here? This is hanemile. The only when we're worried about that, it's midi mezabe mishuma. That's only when things are based on the way the price is set by evaluation. In other words, someone has to make an assessment what exactly the price is. But hacha, but here meat is sold mitakla from measuring it. There's a price for meat, so he bought the meat for the market price. So therefore, there's no chashash that he tried to get a better price. He bought it for the market rate. So therefore, there's no chashash. Its weight proves it. It's not something like land, which is based on the assessment. Kiha de Rabba, Share Trefata. We have this other case where Rabba matured a trefa, Vizabamine Bisran, he bought the meat. Amrele, okay, sorry, it's not Rabba, it's Rava. Okay? Rava bought a piece of trefa meat. We'll see exactly why it's Rava in a minute. He matured a piece of trefa meat. And that he said it wasn't a trefa, and then he bought the meat himself. Amrele bat Rav Chista, the daughter of Rav Chista, that's how we know it's Rava, she was married to Rava. She says to him, Abba Share Bukhra v'lo zavimine. My father would matir b'chorim, like a b'chor that has a mum is allowed to be eaten, but he would never buy lo zavimine bisra, but he would never buy the meat. He was mocking never to buy it. So Amrala, Rabbi said to her, Hanimile Bukhra. That's for a Bukhur. Da Ashuma Mizdabin. A Bukhur is sold based on an evaluated price. There's no market price for Bukhur because they weren't generally sold. So therefore, that's the difference. But Haha Mitkala Muchach. Okay? Here the measuring will prove it. Ma'ika, Mishum Umtsa. So now he says, so what are you worried about? Rabbi says to her. My Ika, what are you worried people are going to think? Mishum Ubtsamal Yata? People are going to say, oh, I wanted this, it was a beautiful piece of meat, and I wanted this beautiful piece of meat, and that's why I matured it? Kol Yoma Ubtsamal Yata Zavnuli. Every day people sell me beautiful pieces of meat. I could go get some other beautiful piece of meat in the shuk. I didn't need this piece. So therefore he says, there's no problem. Okay? Fine. We'll stop here for today. We'll pick up with this tomorrow, where we're going to talk about, is it okay to, you know, paskin on a treif meat for yourself if you're a rabbi, right? And it shows like a special ma'ala if you're not going to paskin on, you know, if you're going to basically call meat that you have in your house and say, oh, that's a treifa. Like, you're doing a shechita and you paskin for yourself that that's a treifa. That shows an extra ma'ala that you're willing to lose your own money, right, for the sake of halacha, or are you willing to be machmir? We'll talk about, you know, is this how much, what's viewed as a good thing, you know, different sonei matanot yichyeh. We'll get to, okay, we'll start with that tomorrow.